Morning. Praise the Lord. Another wonderful day in God's wonderful world. We've been having a series here over the last year and a half. I've been giving a series on I Believe. Why I Believe. I didn't always believe. I came to believe. There are reasons, there are good reasons for me, so why I believe. So this morning I want to share with you my last message on this. We've gone through several different things. We've considered many different reasons. The heavens declare the glory of God. We've seen the stars. And we've seen the constellations and the great things of outer space. Scripture says the heavens declare the glory of God. And I'm so amazed and overwhelmed by these things that I believe. I believe because of Daniel's wonderful prophecies. Prophecies about the different empires that were going to come. Prophecies about the time of Jesus coming. Actually giving the actual time. I believe because of Tyre, the city that was cast into the sea, prophesied hundreds of years before it finally took place. In detail. I believe because of God's marvelous creation in nature. As I look into the world, the things that have been made, I see intelligent design they're talking about today. I see the hand of God writing those things. I don't believe that it was just a big accident, a lot of chances. I believe that there was a cause. It didn't just all happen by accident. I believe because of God's marvelous dealing with the Jews, historical people over thousands of years in his preparation for the coming of the church and things like that. And then finally, as Jesus prophesied that Jerusalem would be trodden down by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And that in my own lifetime, I've seen the Jews again retake Jerusalem and now are controlling it. Jesus spoke of that. I believe because of the many messianic prophecies, predictions, all through the Old Testament, as God began to build, he didn't just send the Messiah and have him say, I'm the Messiah. God wants me to take over. He laid down a long series of communications with men, telling the details of his life and all these marvelous things about his life. And we've seen these things unfold in Scripture. That couldn't have happened by accident. And it had to happen by design. All of this was put together by the hand of God. This morning I want to get personal. I want to talk about belief from the standpoint of myself. How I personally experience God in my life. I've seen his hand moving. I've seen his fingerprints on my life and on the things that are going on in the lives of other people. You know, we can talk theologically and philosophically about there being a God. And we can reason and argue and discuss and whatever. But it isn't until God gets down to the level of me, of each of us personally, when God becomes personal with us, then is when belief really means something. I remember there was a time when I was an evolutionist, wanted to be a scientist. I thought I kind of had adopted everything, but then somebody challenged me. I began to be challenged by these questions of, is there a God? And so I have these various things that I've shared with you as to what helped me to believe it. But you know, there came a time in my life when I still said, well, there's all of this evidence. It sounds good, but hey, I could be wrong. And other people are saying different things. And I came to the question, how do I really know positively there's a God? How can I really see him? If he's here, then he must be doing something. I saw other people who cared and who believed and so on. And that brought me to believe that I needed to check into this, make sure. And I had evidence, but now I needed to touch God. And I remember praying. I prayed, God, if there is a God, help me to know. Help me to understand. I want to know if there really is. And I began to pray about various things. And one particular prayer that I had, and as I prayed, this thing happened. Not immediately, but what I mean is that I began to see God actually moving in the lives of people. I was kind of blinded to it before, but when I opened my mind and began to look, I began to see amazing things that happens with God's people. I believe because of my wonderful experiences. In Mark 9:23-24, this expresses somewhat my own feeling. Jesus said to this man, he said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believes. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. So he pleaded, he asked Jesus to help his unbelief. And that's where I was. And so I started off in this life. Looking back as a kid, I was born in a kind of a poor situation. The year of the Great Depression, 1929, was the year I was born. I don't know how much I contributed to the problem, but in any case, I managed to survive it. It really wasn't so bad to me. I didn't really know anything else. And my dad working, going places, trying to find jobs, moving us, was more of a, well, it's what we did. So I didn't really think too much about it. We moved finally to a house. I've told you about this log cabin. There it is. At the time we moved in, there was moss in those cracks. Right there, it's a little bit later after we put some lime in it. But here I am as a kid, standing there on the left, I guess. And it wasn't exactly the greatest thing, but it was shelter over our heads. There wasn't any electricity, no water. We had a nice air-cooled restroom outside. And we worked hard. We planted and harvested and cut wood and fell trees and did a lot of hard work. That was good. Didn't hurt me a bit. Hard work is something that sometimes people don't experience very much of these days, but we did a lot of it. And night and day. in time, let's go back here, during this period, my family was kind of had a problem family. And my granddad, uncles, and all of them were heavy on the alcohol. One of my uncles owned a tavern. I've seen my granddad laying drunk in the front yard. Carried my uncle off to go to the hospital when he died from alcoholism. So, and my granddad and my uncles, they used to give me alcohol to drink. And my mother, she hated it with a purple passion, and she had a lot of influence in keeping me out of it. Whatever it was, God kept me out of that trap. And there were many traps and dangers that I went through as I grew up. I'm fortunate to be alive. Some of the things that I did, rowing across the bay in a rowboat with the tide going out in one direction, and then another time, I don't know how I even got back, but the wind blowing and everything. But lots of experiences that were really dangerous. We didn't have drugs, but I tried gasoline, and it just about killed me. So there were a lot of things that we did. My family got into a lot of problems. Two of my brother and a sister, I should say, both killed in alcoholic automobile accidents, or alcohol-related automobile accidents. The rest of my family is a mess, most of them at least. Divorced, remarried, sometimes several times, all kinds of difficulties. Those were traps. Potentially, they could have destroyed me too. But God seemed to be always kind of looking out for me. As I look back, you know, after those years I finally discovered God, I began to realize, look at how God has guided my life through and past those dangers that could have ended up in jail and being dead or whatever. God has been so good. And I have to thank him. The idea that somehow I did it, or somehow some chance did it, is ridiculous. Something was taking care of me. As I grew up, I got in the church. And the church people were so kind and good. They gave me a hope. They gave me some meaning to my life. And I was watching them. Yes, I saw some hypocrites. You know, people want to leave the church because they're hypocrites. Believe me, there's a lot more outside. That's why I'm not an unbeliever, because there's too many hypocrites out there. The church really had some caring, and they had some answers. Where'd they get those answers? Where'd they get that caring? They got it from this book right here. That's what changes lives. How did the people who wrote this book know just the right things to provide for good lives and to avoid the problems and destruction and to bring people out of those destructions? Over the years, I have watched and I have seen the difference. People who turn away from God and go their way, all the problems that they struggle with, and people who decide to follow God, all the blessings that they receive, and the solutions. And I've seen the transformation from areas of terrible problems. They transpired into great improvements or great solutions. And there are people right here who sit in our congregation who themselves have gone through terrible difficulties. But God, I've seen God in their lives and in the lives of their parents and brothers and sisters. I've seen God change those lives. I believe because of those changes. I see the hand of God working in them. And so as I grew up, I left home and started working on my own. And got worked my way through college, went to a little church here out in Iowa, and there, that little church, I met a girl. Now, I know you don't know who that is, but that was my first wife. And she's still here. And that was another one of those great blessings in my life. God gave me a wonderful wife. So many guys get married, or girls get married. They marry outside the church, and they choose non-Christians. And they have so many problems. I say, why? Why did you listen to what God said? He warned against it. People can have a wonderful life through the influence of Christ in their lives. We lived at the... I preached in this church out there in Iowa from 1950 through 1954, or into 1954. And in that church, I had a great opportunity to serve God. It was wonderful. And then we decided we wanted to come to Seattle and start churches. And this is how we got here. 35 miles an hour for fear we'd blow the engine. And it was amazing we even got the truck, because I remember going to Des Moines, Iowa, looking for a truck, and they said, well, we don't have anything in the price range you're talking about, but there's a guy that just was in here a little while ago, and he wanted to sell a truck. And they had his name, and so we got contact with him, and we got our truck. Nothing fancy, but it had wheels. And that's what every young guy wants, is something with wheels, right? So we moved out here with what little possessions we had. Gene Bolton and Bonnie Bolton. That's one of their little kids that now is, he comes here from once in a while. Big, tall guy. Has some kids and I think some grandkids. So this goes way back. This is right up my alley, telling these old stories. Anyway, here we are in Seattle with little Barbie. Now she's 50 or so years old. Is that right, Helen? Somewhere there. Anyway, and she's got grandkids. This is our first house. I got to tell you this story about how we came here. This, to me, just is incredible. Yeah, absolutely incredible. I see the hand of God working tremendously. Okay, we got here. We didn't have enough money, though. On our way, though, two different people gave us money, even though we didn't ask for it. But when we got into Seattle, we had less than $5 in our pocket to live on until I could get a job. And we need a place to stay. We stayed overnight over on the Alka Point there, up above it, in a college. They asked to stay and asked them where to start a church. They said out in the White Center area. The next day we went out to buy a house. I mean, we were weird. We went out to buy a house. And we went to this realtor, Sparkman McLean. Can't remember. I think anyway, was a realtor over in Lake Center, and his son was the owner's son, or one of the owner's sons, was home on vacation during the summer. So you know how young guys are; they want to really help out. They're going to read. An older guy wouldn't have paid attention to us. You don't have any money. What are you talking about buying a house? But he said, well, yeah, we got a couple little houses that we haven't been able to move. And they showed us a couple. And then a couple days later, we were able to, they had us look at this one little house here. That's 15 feet wide and, or 15 feet wide and 28 feet long. About, it's smaller than a lot of trailer houses. So, amazingly, we bought it. $4,500. And moved in that day. Now, have you ever tried to go out and buy a house? And you're going to get to move in that day? That day? And you don't have any money. Now, how do you do that? Well, very simple. God was working on our side, and that made a lot. That made all the difference in the world. The realtor's son made an arrangement. He sent us to the bank. They wouldn't even talk to us. They said, "You don't have anything, any collateral." I said, "Well, I got a truck." He said, "Well, you can drive that away." So he sent me back, but an arrangement was worked out with a Singleton Finance Company in White Center for $75 on the truck. $50 would go to the realtor, and $25 would go to feed us and take care of us until we got a job and got some money coming in. That's cutting it kind of thin, believe me. You take your half of the hair and I'll take mine, so to speak. Well, we moved in that day. And shortly we got a knock on the door. The paper boy. "Do you want to take the paper?" I said, "Well, we don't have any money right now, so we'll have to wait until later. But would you tell us where you live, and then we'll come and have you and subscribe to you with you." He said, "Well, you can see that chimney right around the corner there? That house, well, that's where I live." Fine. We went ahead and got prepared to live in the house, laid down a baby mattress with pillows along the side of it for a bed. We didn't have a bed. Barbara slept in the middle. My wife slept on one side, and I slept on the other. We slept that way for 1 month. That was the first month. Then I decided after they left, I need to get a paper to know where to get a job. So I went around the corner, knocked at the door, and asked about getting a paper. That I need to get a job. They said, "Well, there's a job down at the corner, and at the Serview grocery store." So I went down there and begged the job, and that got us through the winter. But they also said, "We're studying with some Mormons." And we got to talking about it, and they invited me to the study. That was the last study they had with the Mormons. They became our first church members. And they got some people across the street from them, the Mocks. That was the Winters, the Mocks. They got the Mocks, and we started having services in our little home. Imagine this, we started church in this front room. The end of the front room was right about where the end of the window is there, away from the door. And It was just about wide enough with a Davenport that we did have a Davenport. And you could sit on the Davenport and put your feet almost to the apple boxes on the other wall where I had my books. And we started church there with my accordion. And that was where this church began. Absolutely amazing. Nobody in his right mind would come to a city with not enough money, go out and buy a house, and move in the next day. I mean, it just ain't so. From a human, my uncle said, well, he said, I didn't have much hope for it. But he said, God has a way of working with helping people. Don't know any better. That's what happened. Do you wonder why I believe? When I see things like that, that wasn't the only time. There are many things that have happened. Either keeping me out of trouble or getting me blessings. And we, through the first year, we finally moved in to, within the end of the year, next summer, wasn't even the full year, we moved into this McMicken Heights Improvement Club. And we're there for a few months. And then we went out to buy a church building. Amazing. Church building. Already. On a part-time salary. These other folks that came with us, they didn't have any money either. They were broke as we are. They stayed with us. I said, you know, that we slept on the floor for the first month. Well, at the end of that time, we went to buy a bed. We came home. The winters took us to buy a bed on the top, and they put it on the top of their car. We came home, we turned the corner, and we could see my friend parked in our driveway. They had finally got there. So they slept on bed the next month, and we kept sleeping on the floor. Well, anyway, we moved into this improvement club. Then we decided we just had to have a church. So we went to a realtor, and we decided, well, we're going to try to rent a building someplace out on the airport area out there. The realtor said, yes, there aren't any unless you've got several hundred dollars a month that you're going to be able to put into this. My heart sunk. But he says, we got a little church. And I said, well, how, if we can't even rent a building, how are we going to buy a church? Didn't make any sense. But it doesn't cost anything to look. So we agreed to go look at it. And here it is, right here. That's the way it looked when we bought it, except for the little sign on the outside. Welcome the church. I don't remember seeing what the rest of it is. We nailed this thing on the outside of the, but this is the way the building looked down there in Riverton. Riverton Church of Christ. That's where we started in the building. This building was owned by the Christian Science Society. And they were trying to sell it. And there was a hunting club that wanted to buy it. It had beautiful inside cedar boards. Wasn't very well protected from the weather, though. It was pretty drafty. But at any rate, they wanted $7,000, and we said, well, we'll take your price, but we don't have the money to give you. We need to pay it $75 down and $75 a month. Well, they didn't want the club to have it, and that was their only other offer. They didn't want it turned into a club for hunters, and so they sold it to us. And it was all furnished. The benches you're sitting on here, those were the benches in that building. We've added a few that we made ourselves, similar, but that's where they came from. We also got a piano and pulpit and a whole lot of other things that actually fully furnished us. Otherwise, we had to go out and buy this stuff extra, too. But God provided. Amazing. Here we are in our little house after we made it, after we refinished it. We made it twice as wide as it was, and we're sitting there one Christmas day, and if you'll notice on the television screen, it says Love of Life. I always thought that was really symbolic. We happened to have the television on when they had a television program at that time called Love of Life. And so it has been. God has been good. And God brought us a lot of good people, too. Now, I didn't get a time to put one in here with Chuck at this early stage. Chuck actually came, I think, before Daryl, if I remember correctly. And Carl also came earlier. But here's Daryl. He's changed just a little, as we all have. This is the old house. We sold our original house, moved into another house right next to the church building. We had lots of experiences. And so I say, this is why I believe, too. This is the personal part of it. The many experiences, the great times that we had together, the church, the people, and the changes of lives, the growth and the fellowship, these are things that have made my faith in God stronger and stronger. Here's the old Riverton Church kids bus the kids painted. There's Judy and Carl right in the front, in the second row there. You wouldn't remember him either by that, I guess. There's Ron Wiedemann. And I don't know who all else. Here's the old, we started another church. The church grew. And we started two churches from it. One at Westside, which later now became the Crown Hill Church, later on. And then another one out at Kent. Don Fleming led that one. And it grew very rapidly, too. It's now the Cedar Ridge Church of Christ. Here's the Crown Hill Church building after Bill Paul came and moved the church north. Here's a couple of gals cooling their heels up at the lake at the camp. We started camps, retreats. Here's a bunch of the at the old building before it got wiped out by the snowslide. Up at Camp Dudley, yeah, it says on the top of it, Camp Dudley. Here's, again, nice, beautiful times that we had together. Here's Bill Paul and some of the others as we started the church growth thing, where we started churches in different places. And here's the team, one point here. The elders and deacons, and there's, yep, here's the kids sitting around the fireplace or the fire pit out there, enjoying themselves. These are the things that make you love God. I see the changes in people's lives, and I see the disasters when people don't listen. It's terrible. Why do people want to suffer so bad? Because they won't listen to God. And I see that. And I see God moving. You wouldn't believe that, would you? You wouldn't believe I could get off the ground that high. Oh, they surely could either. Well, that was when I was a little slimmer. My son had grown up, and, oh yeah, there's, whose dad is that? There we go. I was afraid he was a kid your age, or maybe younger. And there's graduation time for one of them. Here's that famous sermon that I've preached several times. The Tater family, Dick Tater, and all of the little Taters, the commentator, oh, some of the others.
Imitator.
Okay, there was a lot of them. This is when we were starting here, and we were playing a used accordion, some. Here's the old joy buses that we used to drive. Here's a baptism. And then there was a snow slide. I wish I could show you all the pictures I got. I got so many, I just have to kind of show you some of them here. Here they are again. There's Daryl Chase on one side and Carl and Judy on the other side. Here they're the music group playing. We have started the coffee houses. This is down below the field, below Riverton Church. There's church off in the background there. There's Carl. There's that little boy that Gene Bolton was holding. This is Al Ship. He started our first electronics program here. And I don't know who these people are. Who's that guy in the red? There we go. Okay. Alan Cooter. And then here they're coming back from a trip to the island out there, I think. Here's a lot of us. Who's this guy in right in the front on the left there? That looks like John Hawkins. That was before he got married. This was a dating thing. We all got together and had them all choose a date. This is Marlo and Jim. And here's Keith and Chris and their parents, or his parents at least. Here's Carl, Judy, the kids. Here's Dave Nelson and his family, just back from Hawaii. And here we have several others. There's more. Ray and Sylvia. And this is the whole Leslie family. This is the New Life tent, where we have New Life, and this is inside it. Here's, they had a party for old people and invited us. And there's the dig in the sewers. Some of the different ones are working on. Con's up there working away. I think it's Con anyway. I'm pretty sure it is. Digging the sewers. We're at the top of the World Trade Center. That's before they knocked it down. I get some funny feelings sometimes when I look at these pictures. Senior party. Okay, there's our little kids. Jeff and Anna with their kids.
I thought that was such a beautiful scene. I just threw it in. That was before the tree fell down. The snow got on it and knocked it down. And the other one that I've got planted hasn't grown that big yet. And there's Bill Paul, who took over the North Seattle Church, Crown Hill Church. And I don't know who that other guy is there, the bald head. Here's Lee Turner and his family, and Chuck and Gary. This is up at Leavenworth, the trip to Leavenworth. And here's Cannon Beach Wedding. We had lots of weddings in here. I just couldn't put them all in. I just threw one in there. Lots of wonderful times. Lots of wonderful times. And I've just seen so much of God's working as He got us this building here. The same way, it was a really unusual situation that we were able to even get it. We didn't think we could, but God provided. And the next year, we wanted my wife, when she was, we were living in the back end of this building. And when we first came here, first year, we fixed up, so we used the kitchen and the last of the other rooms back there for bedrooms and front room. And my wife looked across the parking lot and said, I wish I had that house over there. And next year, we got it. It came up for sale. And I still don't know quite how we did it, but we did it. It's amazing. Things that have happened, and I can go on and on and on. Yes, indeed, because of God's marvelous works, His Word, His prophecies, and His work in His people, I believe. This morning, let us stand and sing our song that we've been singing with this series, I Believe. I believe my Savior died on Calvary's tree for you and me. I believe that somewhere in the darkest night He hears my plea. I believe that everyone who goes astray, my Lord will come to show the way. I believe, yes, I believe. Let's lower that. I believe the smallest prayer will still be heard. I believe the Master in the great somewhere hears every word. Every time I hear a newborn baby cry, or touch a leaf, or see the sky, then I know why I believe. It's in our heart anyway. Thank you very much. You know, it's been such a wonderful life. It's such a wonderful life. Serving God. And the more I go on, the more I realize. And so thankful for all of you and for God's working to bring it to pass. He has blessed us so richly. Thank you.